Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the GLBTA webinar. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press the one followed by the four on your telephone. If at any time during the conference you do need to reach an operator, please press the star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded Friday, August 19th, 2011. I would now like to turn the conference over to Karen Morgan. Please go ahead.
Okay, thanks. Hey, everyone. This is Karen Morgan. I'm the co-leader for GE's cross-business GLBTA Alliance, and I wanted to welcome everyone to the webinar today. I think we've got about 40 people on right now, and I think over 180 accepted, so there may be more folks joining as we get started. I wanted to give you a little background of why we're doing the webinar. GE's corporate headquarters has been featuring artwork connected to the different affinity groups, I think, for the past several years, and each affinity group has a couple of months during the year where that artwork is featured at corporate headquarters. The GLBTA was included for the first time this year, and the process was we met with a woman named Valerie Cooper from a company that helped us basically work out what a theme would be and the type of artwork we were looking for. Once we got that determined, they sent out a request to artists to submit their work. Based on that, the work of five different artists was selected for the display this year, and their artwork is on display in Fairfield until the end of August. In addition to the live display, the artwork is also, we also have an online gallery that I think we've sent the link out to the Alliance for. In addition, we wanted to give everybody a chance to hear from the artists themselves, so the purpose of this webinar was to invite the artists to discuss their work. We have two of those five artists on the phone today, Lorenzo Triburgo and Angela Jimenez. Each is going to take about maybe 15 minutes to introduce themselves and talk about their background, their career, and then provide us with some perspective, some insight on the works which were selected for the exhibit. There will be an opportunity after each of them has finished to ask questions. You can post questions a couple of ways. One, just post it in the Webex chat window, or as the operator said, press one and then four to get an operator, and you can submit questions that way. After the two artists have talked about their works, Nicole Sansone, who's one of the curators, she's going to spend a few minutes discussing the works of the other three artists who could not attend. That being said, I want to turn it over now to Lorenzo, who's going to start discussing his background and the work that was selected for the exhibit. Go ahead, Lorenzo, and you can get started.
All right. Thank you, Karen. Yeah, my name is Lorenzo Triburgo. Just a little bit about myself. To begin with, I'm from New York, originally from the Bronx, and I moved out to Portland, Oregon, about 5 years ago after graduating with my MFA in photography from the School of Visual Arts. My current project, Trans Portraits, I've been working on for the last about 2.5 years, and that was recently shown as a solo show at the University of Arts in Philadelphia with an accompanying lecture in collaboration with the Equality Forum. I'm not sure how many of you are familiar with the Equality Forum, but there was a nationwide LGBT summit in Philadelphia, and so I spoke about the project there as well. One of the pieces from Trans Portraits was also recently acquired by the Portland Art Museum. Yeah, I started the project, Trans Portraits, at the beginning of my own transition from female to male, and I knew that I wanted to make a project about masculinity, and the next step for me was to figure out what I wanted the project to look like. How was I going to represent the ideas that I had kind of learned over the years? My background also, I should say that I went to NYU as an undergrad, and I studied photography and gender studies. Those are kind of my two major interests, and I think that this project links those two very strongly, photography and gender studies. I think I'm going to just jump right in and start looking at some of the images. The first one here is called Around the Bend, read. And I want to talk a little bit about just the process of how I, you know, how I started making them. So like I said, I knew I wanted to create a project about masculinity and my ideas on masculinity, and I wasn't sure exactly how, what, you know, what it should look like. And so I, for almost a year, I worked on doing test shoots and using different types of materials as backgrounds. I knew that I wanted to have landscapes as part of the background. And for me, the landscape is a representation of the natural, but having it be in this, it's an artificial representation of that. So it's a little, I'm trying to be a little bit playful there, you know, slightly humorous maybe. So, you know, again, my jumping off point is that gender is a social construct. And so that was my way of representing it. And then eventually I came to the idea of using Bob Ross's Joy of Painting instructions. I'm not sure how many of you are familiar with Bob Ross, but I see him as sort of like a pop culture American icon. He's the Happy Little Trees painter who was on PBS in the 80s. In any case, I use his sort of simple instructions and then create 4-foot by 4-foot backdrops for each photograph, and each subject gets a different painting. Again, with using Bob Ross, I feel like I've really steeped the project in American masculinity, and that was sort of also important to me to let it be known that that's what I'm, you know, that's my, that's where I'm coming from. So, excuse me, guys. I'm having a hard time getting this to scroll down so I can go to the next image. There we go. Go back. The next one is Two Seasons, Andrew. So once I had the backdrops painted and kind of figured out, or not painted, I painted them as I went, but once I had them, you know, figured out that that's what I was going to use, I worked on lighting. And so for me, it was really important that each of the images have, you know, very similar lighting, or it's actually dialed in to be exactly the same. And I wanted to create a look that was like very classic portraiture, something that would maybe hang over a mantle. So it's some, I like to think that it sits somewhere in between like a Sears portrait and a classical painting portrait. I'm also interested in the sense of pride, and I wanted to, so I'm representing my ideas on masculinity and gender as a social construct, but at the same time, I want to represent a female-to-male, F-to-M, transgendered folks with a sense of pride, and in all of the images, I have the camera angle slightly lower, and I have them kind of posturing in a very proud stance in all of them. So that was something that was really important for me to carry out through all of the images. Excuse me again, just as I scroll through, it's a little bit slow, so please bear with me. Next image is Autumn Images, Maxwell. You know, something that comes up actually a lot that I want to talk about is just how do I find people to sit for me for the project? And I just wanted to, you know, make sure to point out that I am incredibly grateful for everyone who's sat for this project. And wanted to point out that, you know, it takes courage actually to do something like this. Some guys, some trans men, you know, really don't want to be out, and that's totally fine. They can live their whole life without anyone knowing, really, that they're transgendered, and that's totally okay. For me, I wanted to create a project that gives us some visibility and say, you know what, like, we do exist, start here, and that's part of my hope with this, not only to talk about my ideas about gender and masculinity, but also to give trans men sort of some more presence, some more visibility. So to me, it's really important just to point out that how courageous it is for these men to kind of lend their faces to this project. So mostly the way that I found people to sit for me was really through word of mouth. I photographed like one person who I knew, and then he kind of just, you know, put the word out, and it kind of just snowballed that way. So I was really lucky to have that happen. I just want to mention most of the people are from the Pacific Northwest. I also have some folks from Arizona in the project. But it's mostly Portland and Seattle. The next image is Valley Waterfall Erin. And whenever I looked at Erin, was the first person that I shot, and he worked with me for about 6 months as I kind of messed around with lighting and had, like I was saying before, all different backgrounds and stuff. And so I'm always, whenever I look at this image, I always kind of smile because I think about how generous he was with his time. Also, I should mention that there are 30 images in the series total. So, and then each one has their own painting. As I mentioned, so I knew Erin, and so he was my first subject to sit for me, and then he kind of helped me find other folks to do this. But I also want to mention that this project is very much about my ideas, as I mentioned before. So it's not really about any individual story. So I'm not really giving you very much information on each person. I think that people have said to me, you know, people kind of, it's always interesting to me to see which images people connect with, and it seems to be that, you know, everyone sort of has their own connections for whatever reason to each different image. But it's very much, it's not about, you know, not trying to describe one person or tell their story. It's very much a representation of a broader idea. And so that's something that's sort of important for me that people understand. Because part of what I'm doing is talking about photography as well. Like, the whole exercise in creating this really dialed-in lighting scheme and having it all be very similar is to also talk about, like, what can photography actually tell us about a person, and what is that connection that we feel when we look at a portrait? How much of that is also a social construct, like that idea that photography can tell us more about, you know, about a person. Because in my personal belief, I feel like a lot of times, or maybe all the time, photography, a photograph is really more about the photographer. It's always going to be subjective that way. The last image I wanted to talk about is just, so when I say that gender is a social construct, what exactly am I trying to get at? And I guess I would reference two of my favorite scholars in the field are Judith Butler and Judith Halberstam. Judith Butler wrote Gender Trouble, and Judith Halberstam, Female Masculinity. Those would be like the two seminal texts, I guess. But my ideas are that gender and sex are not inherently linked, so that one's gender is not predetermined by their physiology. I hope that this project is a playful representation of that idea. That was the other thing, that I wanted the project to be visually accessible. I wanted it, you know, these are, you know, sort of, you know, big ideas, or I didn't want it to be too didactic or stiff, you know, and I wanted to represent my personality a little bit. And so I think it is important to me that it has, like, that it's colorful and that it's, you know, a little bit playful. Just to kind of finish up, again, just that link between photography and the representations of gender, I think are really interesting, and I'll probably continue to sort of examine that relationship for, you know, perhaps the rest of my life. But I think that, you know, the idea that photography is something that can ever be objective. You know, we have this idea that a photograph can tell us a story or be a document to represent a truth, when it's actually very subjective and it's always about the point of view of the photographer. And I feel like there's a relationship between that misunderstanding almost, and also between gender as a construct. You know, that it's something that is misunderstood as being embedded in nature, when really it's something that can be recreated and molded, and it's definitely embedded in society. I just think that photography is the perfect medium to sort of deconstruct the idea of masculinity as a construct. Those are sort of the broad ideas, a little bit about my process. I'm totally happy to listen to or take any and all questions. And I'm super excited to be here. Thank you so much for everyone for organizing this and giving us a chance to talk about our work. That's really exciting. So thank you, everyone who organized this.
Great. This is Karen again. Thanks, Lorenzo. Definitely enjoyed listening to your perspectives. It really brings a lot more, you know, you get, like you said, you get your own perspective just from looking at it, but it's always nice to hear from the artist. At this point, if anybody has questions, they can dial the operator at 1 and then 4, or post any questions in the chat window, and we can give it a minute or so and see. I don't, Ivan, is are there any questions on the WebEx? I don't know if you can, Ivan. I'm not sure if you can see, because nothing yet. Okay, and I don't know if you had to take control back from Lorenzo. We can give it a minute, and then what I thought we would do is, if there's no immediate questions, we can go into let Angela talk about her work, and then again, for the folks on the phone, if you start thinking of questions, you can really post them in the chat window at any time, and then we'll give another opportunity when Angela's done to see if folks have any questions.
No questions, but we do see Amy on the screen. Hello. All right, so let's turn over to Angela.
Great.
Just need to find her real quick.
I'm really excited to hear Angela speak right now. I think she and I have a very different approach, I think, and so I think it's a really interesting pairing today. So that's really exciting.
Yeah, I agree. You guys come from, you're looking at quite different things, so it is nice to hear from some different perspectives.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'll say hello while we're waiting.
Yes, go ahead, Angela.
Technical stuff to come around. So hello, my name is Angela Jimenez. Yeah, I'm also so happy to be here. This is really a pleasure. And Lorenzo, I love your work, first of all. So great to hear you talk about it. It's really, you know, sometimes we're all working in isolation, and it's actually an equal pleasure for an artist to hear another person talk about his work and his process. So I'll just start telling you like a little bit about my background, which is that I'm a documentary photographer and a photojournalist, among other types of work that I do, and I'm based in Brooklyn. I've been working in New York for about 10 years. And my background, I studied literature and American history, and originally wanted to be a writer, and wound up going to journalism school at the University of Missouri. And my kind of school of thought in photography is about telling stories, starting from the very sort of simple idea of like that there's a value in telling the story about someone's life. And I've kind of carried that sort of tradition into doing the journalism work that I've done. For many years I was a stringer or freelance photographer, working mostly for the New York Times in this area. And kind of simultaneously working for lesbian and gay, like queer publications alongside that, which were sort of like two parallel realities for a really long time. I think I've really seen some amazing things happen in the last handful of years in terms of increased representation of like gender and sexuality experiences. And so I've done a number of different stories in the mainstream media too, which I didn't necessarily think was going to be a possibility. But I started this project that is represented in this show is from a book that I self-published. It came out in the summer of 2009. It's called Welcome Home, Building the Michigan Women's Music Festival. And it's a project that I started working for a magazine called Velvet Park, which is a dyke culture publication. And it was, you know, I just went out there for a one-time thing to sort of photograph at this place. And it wound up turning into this real kind of experience for me as a person and as a photographer. And I wound up working on a project there for 6 or 7 years, I guess it was, by the time it came out. And I turned it into a book. And I've always been interested in subculture and in gender, and in this project it was sort of like the confluence of a lot of things that were so interesting to me. The festival was founded like the year that I was born, basically, so we're sort of the same age, which I found really intriguing because I thought as kind of an exploration of a particular place and a particular thought. It's an all-female. What exactly that means is kind of evolving and up for debate. But it's an all-female space and music festival that happens every year on a private piece of land in Michigan. And I wound up really focusing on the worker community. There's a community of several hundred people, many of whom return year after year after year to build the festival. There's this really kind of holistic process of building the whole festival from the ground up and then deconstructing it every year, and it happens over the course of a month. And that was kind of where I saw the manifestation of what I felt like people were trying to do in this space. And it had never really... People have photographed there over the years, but like with any subculture, a lot of times there are sort of, you know, gates that you need to walk through and privacy issues. I think this space has been like a very sacred place. I've actually kind of experienced it almost more like an ashram. I took inspiration from, there's a project called Integrate Silence. It's a documentary film that I totally recommend everybody seeing if you get the chance. But it's about a silent order of monks, and it took the documentarians like 17 years to get access to it. And I had to keep that in mind as I went through this process because, boy, it really took me a long time to get permission from the people who run the festival and from the women who are in the community to really trust and to come up with a way of doing this work that respected their privacy, but also was rang true and had a sincerity to it. And it took me a long time. So in this project, every single person who's in the photograph has not only given me permission to photograph her, but also has seen the actual picture and signed a model release. So it was a pretty exhaustive process, but I felt, you know, sometimes you come across something, and maybe this relates to what I've been saying, you know, with photography, you have this ability to sort of create images and put stories out into the world that might not exist otherwise, and just sort of give people the chance to see something and relate to it and empathize with it, and I've always thought that that was the power of it. So I thought, like, wow, this is going to be a lot of work, but I thought, just to have this book as a record of a place that existed for a very long time as like a lesbian, separatist, feminist space, it was important to just put it down for the record. And who knows how that will be meaningful over time, but it felt super important to me. So I'm just going to click on the first image here. So, and just to tell you, so I guess I published this book, and I self-published the whole thing. That's a whole other story. It was pretty fascinating. But I printed about 1,000 copies of it, and I have about 50 or 60 left that are available at this point, which is really wonderful. And I exhibited it initially at the LGBT Center, which is the community center in New York, in Manhattan, and then moved the show to the Lesbian Herstory Archives in Brooklyn, which is kind of its home base now. I kind of take the pieces out of there and send them around for different shows. So that's where these pieces will go back there and to another show afterwards. And it was also published on the New York Times Lens blog, which was kind of interesting because I'm interested in showing this to the queer community. But I also really wanted to show it to other people who might not have a frame of reference for knowing what this was. So the first picture, testing the night stage lights under a full moon, is this, there's this process of building up every aspect of the festival. And I took this picture about a week before the festival opened, where women had been there for weeks and weeks building the stage. And what you're looking at here is the big night stage that has kind of a canopy over it. And it was on the night of a full moon. And a woman named Casey, who's the lighting tech out there, was testing all of the spotlights. And I just happened to, like, stumble into this open field on this night. And it was just, I hope some part of how magical it was translates into this picture. But her being the lighting tech is interesting because there's so many sort of non-traditional trades that get practiced by all women on the land, like plumbing, electricity, lighting tech, stage crew, all of that stuff, where you have a lot of, actually, some, you know, kind of newbies. I worked as a carpenter out there, and I had no idea what I was doing, so I was just learning, but I was learning alongside professionals, and most of the professionals work mostly with men the rest of the time, so it's, it's kind of a deep experience for them. This next stage is called Acoustic Stage Wood. These are the pieces of wood that get used and reused and reused year after year to build these different stages. The process of building out there was interesting to me because it wasn't entirely expedient. It's very much done with, like, the intention of preserving materials and using them over and over again and having kind of the same many people's hands kind of touching the same things and using them, and you see all the nail holes from the different years that have gone by. So these series of pictures that I chose basically all pertain to, in one way or another, the construction of the stages. This is just sort of like a mini story that we extracted from the larger book. Oops. It'll cooperate with me in a minute. There we go. Okay, so there's a day out there on the land, as people call it, when women from multiple crews who are sort of specializing in different things all get together to raise the stage. And it actually kind of evoked for me some images that I've seen of sort of like an Amish barn raising. It's very much a symbolic thing. It's certainly, again, like, it's done this way to build something, but it's also done, everything is sort of done with, I think, like, another intention. And I found it to be like a very kind of rhythmic visual metaphor for the community that people are building there. I called the book Welcome Home because that is what people say to each other when they first go back there each summer. And I think people see it that way. People see it as like kind of a home community. This next picture is of a woman named Mauve. Just gonna try to scroll down so you can see her. She's very beautiful. Try to figure that out. This is an all-female space, which is not to say, but that is to say that idea encompasses a whole spectrum of identity and gender expression, and it's a very freeing place in that way, I think, for a lot of women. I feel like I sort of learned a lot of things about myself there and freed some things up in myself to be more authentic to my own like gender identity, and there's also a real sense of history of spending a lot of time. It's a very intergenerational experience. Mauve is a person that I consider to be like a real elder, or as they call them, their crones, a real elder in the community. It's a unique chance to actually spend time with older women who, you know, have walked through life and different experiences. I mean, you look at her and she's just, you know, she's got some things to teach you. That's how I think of her. So that's something that I really got out of being in that space. And this last picture is called Lori Greets Dustin. And this is actually a welcome home moment. It was when Dustin was just arriving on the land. And so some people see each other outside of that space, but a lot of people only see each other there. So they hadn't seen each other probably since the previous year. And so another sort of concept that I always picture in doing this project was Brigadoon. And Brigadoon is that fictional town that, you know, appears once every 75 years, sort of in its complete and in-process form, and then disappears, and then appears again. And that's sometimes how this place feels. So, I think I just hope for this project that, you know, it was very interesting doing this project, kind of navigating the world of being an art photographer and a photojournalist outside of that festival environment, and then trying to navigate all of the privacy issues and do something that was very rooted in a community. And in the end, I wound up, you know, self-publishing it because it was really actually mostly for that community in terms of the people who really treasured the book and wanted to have it. But I also am really, really happy to have it out in the world a little bit. I think sometimes it's tricky when maybe you have, you know, your sexuality is marginalized or your gender identity, and Ivan was talking about this a little bit maybe with some of his subjects, not being sure, you know, did they want to be out or do they want to be represented in the project. And I think it takes a lot of courage to do that. The same way I think it takes, I've worked with so many people on journalism projects who have had the courage to sort of open themselves up to being depicted, you know, at kind of vulnerable times in their lives, and I have a huge amount of respect for that. So I'm glad that they did, because I think that they wanted this book. A lot of times people, if they really value something, they actually want the story to be told and carried, but sometimes it has to be done in a really delicate way. So thank you very much for listening, and I also welcome any questions.
Angela, that was great. Very, very interesting. I guess I, you know, not being an artist myself, you know, I always, you know, when you see pictures, you just think, well, somebody's just capturing an image in a moment. But what I think both you and Lorenzo have helped me see is that how much you are part of the picture, that the artist is, you know, it's kind of the picture's in you. You're in that picture as well. It's not just about you standing there behind a camera. Very interesting. So thank you. Ivan, do we have any questions in the WebEx, or are there any questions through the phone for either Lorenzo or Angela?
Nothing on WebEx yet, but if anyone has any questions, just enter it in the chat menu, in the chat screen.
Okay. Well, what I think we could do now is move on, and like I said before, Nicole Sansone, she's one of the curators who helped pick the artwork that we're seeing today, and three of the artists couldn't join us today, so we asked her to just maybe take a few minutes and talk a little bit about the rest of the artwork from the other three artists. So, Nicole, I'll hand it over to you.
Okay. Hi, everyone. I'm Nicole Sansone. Thank you for having me. And I'm the assistant curator for the GE Art Program. And actually, Karen, it's interesting that you were talking about how these narratives are unfolding, because one of the things that we found when we were putting the show together is that none of these pictures were ever just what they seemed. And part of all these unfolding narratives that we found was there was this very strong sense of community, and not just in the pictures and what they were depicting, and you know, whether it be the women at the music festival or the community of trans males or whatever, there was also a community of artists working together. So I remember distinctly talking to Lorenzo and to Angela and saying, oh, can you recommend any other artists that we might look at or include? And, you know, they directed me to some of the artists we had already been looking at, like Molly Landreth or new ones. So it was really nice to have that's coming through, that it was such a supportive network, and there really is a strong sense of community amongst this group of individuals. So on that note, I think I'm going to start off with, I don't know if I can scroll, but I think we'll start off with Cindy Warwick, who is one of the artists who wasn't able to attend. She started as a fashion photographer and has since moved more towards fine art, and she's based out of Western Canada and New York at the moment, and she is currently working on a project that explores sensationalism in American media. But in the 90s, she worked on this project for a book called Women Together, Portraits of Love, Commitment, and Life. And what happened was they went across the nation and photographed lesbian couples together in their homes, and collected essays that touched on these couples' gay experience together. So there's 40 photos and 29 essays, all executed in the 90s. They represent a range of women from different walks of life, different ages. Amanda Bierce, who played Marcy on Married with Children, is one of our featured artists. Featured subjects. Probably one of the more famous, probably for the queer community, is Phyllis Lyon and Del Martin, who Del Martin unfortunately passed away in 2008, but they were a lesbian couple who was very well known for their gay rights activism. They were the first same-sex marriage licensed married couple in California in 2000. It's a tricky situation with California. They were the first married same-sex couple. Well, not married. They got the same license on 2008 after they had after California had previously voided their license. So in February they got their same-sex marriage license. In August the license was voided, and then in 2008 they were able to get the license again. But since then California has obviously discontinued issuing those licenses. Couple that was featured was Chaz Bono and his then girlfriend, but I don't think he's on the online gallery. And so it was just a bunch of women together, and there was a strong emphasis in the book on the fact that these couples were very supportive of each other. There was a strong emphasis on the kind of the affection and the admiration that they had for each other. And I know from a curatorial standpoint, when we were looking at these photos, we were really just struck by a lot of these poses are just really tender, and that's something that I think Angela and Lorenzo have both touched on and what they've talked about how there's a lot of vulnerability in capturing people in their intimate relationships, and there's a lot to risk, but there's also a lot to gain. So we thought these are really poignant. The next artist I will touch on is Megan Holmes, who unfortunately I didn't get to interface with a lot. she's based out of Portland, and she seems to do a lot of portraiture and photography of music individuals. And she's very active on her blog, and she does a lot of documentative work, but it seems like she's very heavy in the music world, and she does a lot of event photographs, and they're really fun and creative and edgy, and they're really representative, I think, of that style of photography that's coming out of the West Coast. So that's that there. And another artist that I didn't get to interface with and also isn't on the online gallery but is displayed in Fairfield is David Hilliard. And he has that big triptych of a man at a carnival with there's three panels and one panel. The center panel has a man at a carnival. He's just working a booth, looking straight at you in this intense gaze. And the panel to the left of that is one of those stands that has the kind, all the balloons of characters. Usually they have like Spider-Man and this and that. And this particular balloon is the Hulk. And it's a great juxtaposition of, like, to kind of build again on what Lorenzo was talking about, gender as a social construct and our expectations of what maleness looks like. And, you know, it raises a lot of questions about gender versus biology. So David Hilliard has said that he looks a lot, his work focuses a lot on the masculine condition, quote unquote. And this is a really good example also of David at his best. He works a lot in these with a panoramic photograph, and they're back-mounted, and they come in these three sections, and each panel sort of sets up an opportunity for him to make a joke in the next panel, you know? So when you start, if you're reading his photograph in Fairfield from left to right, you start with a balloon figure of the Hulk, and then you move to this center image of a man who's kind of got a relaxed pose. He's leaning against his cart. He's taking a sip of water. I mean, there's a lot of masculine signifiers. There's a lot of feminine signifiers, but together the whole thing really comes together and plays off of each other in this interesting way, and there's a lot of push and pull in what you're supposed to be reading. But his larger work mostly focuses on, you know, ordinary life. It's a lot of people that he knows that are just set up. They have a sort of fictitious value because they are staged photographs. So that it's kind of tongue-in-cheek in that way. And then the last artist that we've included in the show is Molly Landreth, who I think, if memory serves me correctly, Lorenzo knows Molly. I think they studied together
yes.
At SBI. Yeah, good. I was hoping I didn't mess that up. So Molly Landreth is working on this very exhaustive project, and it's covering a range of media, and it's called, the main body of work is called Embodiment, A Portrait of Queer Life in America. And she started this in 2005 when she was studying photography in New York. And she's basically, she has said in her own words, she's trying to redefine what it means to be queer in America today. So she approaches people via Facebook message or email. And the logic with that is that, you know, because these are such, she is asking to capture such a tender and vulnerable moment. If you're putting yourself on Facebook, on MySpace, or on the internet, you're opening yourself up to a tremendous amount of public visibility. So it's probably not going to be too far off if she asks for you to participate in her portrait project. And so she approaches these individuals, and she asks them to take her to a place that has some kind of significance for her, for them. And, this is a great example. So they'll take her to a place that has significance to them, and they are allowed to wear whatever they want, and it's kind of like a self-styled photograph, and she shoots them with, and correct me, I'm not familiar, but it's one of those cameras that looks like the old portraiture cameras that are set up for, like, the glass plates. And but in you photographing this format, it gives it a sort of formality because people have to sit. She throws one of those cloaks over her head, and there's a kind of a long and kind of meditative process. And she said, funny enough, because even though she's exploring formal portraiture and what that does to a narrative, what that does to capturing an individual, people actually become more relaxed. And so she's going across America, and she is, the next one could be Jim and Ron. And she's in photographing these individuals in the places that are significant to them. And it's been this very long and exhaustive body of work that's now being translated into webisodes. There's a DVD. There's a book coming out. There's a lot of, she sells prints on Etsy. And all the money goes back into funding this project, which is really kind of, in a way, a very long documented process about what it means to be queer in America today. And from this project, it's also started to splinter off into other projects, which a good example is the series of camping photos that was part of a body of work called Queer Life in Brighton. And Brighton has been described to me as like the P-town of England. And it's the site of the Pride Day, one set of Pride Day festivities. This is a picture of the Pride Day festivals, people camping at Devil's Dyke Farm. And she was invited out there into England in 2010 by photographer and curator Martin Parr, who asked her to create, basically take embodiment, a portrait of queer life in America, and turn it into portrait of queer life in Brighton. And so she had a week to photograph 20 different individuals, and, you know, she's described it as one of the, like being on a reality TV show. It was one of the most exhausting processes, but everything except for the farm was about a walk away, and she's never had so many drinks on the house before, and so it was a really positive experience. And what's come of that is this series of photographs, and they were all then later displayed for the Brighton Photo Biennial. And so now all of this work is being, like I said, is being kind of parlayed into different mediums. She's working with Amelia Tovey, who's a video artist based out of New York, to create these webisodes and to expand the project further. And so if anyone is interested in more information on the project, she has a website, which is www.embodimentusa.com. So that is that's a little bit about Molly Landreth. Oh, just backtrack for a sec. I just jumped right into the work. I'm sorry. She's 32 years old, based out of Seattle, and she's also a contributor for the New York Times Magazine, an out traveler, and was recently featured on NPR in The Advocate. So that's a little bit about the artists that were unfortunately unable to attend, but if anyone has any questions, I think that might be a good place to go from here.
Yeah, thank you, Nicole. This is Karen again. I think wanted to see if there were any questions for any of these three folks, Lorenzo, Angela, or Nicole, because that kind of finishes up sort of the formal part of the webinar. So we'll just see if there are any questions before we wrap up.
We do have a question on the phone lines from the line of Sue Maxson. Please go ahead.
Hi. Actually, my question was for Angela. First of all, I wanted to say that your pictures are amazing. Really great use of color in black and white. And I was wondering, you said you had 50 books remaining out of your 1,000 self-published. Do you have any information, like, couldn't you guys get the information on how we could purchase a book? Or?
Yeah, thank you, first of all, very much.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
you're beautiful.
I always fail to mention such things. My website is Angela Jimenez Photography, so just my name, photography.com. And you'll see on there a link to where you can buy the book. And if you have any questions, you can just email me.
Okay, thank you. And one more comment. Lorenzo, your work is amazing as well.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, really great. Really, really appreciated. This was wonderful.
Thanks for listening.
Great. Well, thank you for listening in.
There are no further questions on the audio side.
Okay, thank you. Ivan, any questions in the WebEx?
Nothing on the WebEx right now.
Okay. For any of the three of you, now that we've gone through this, was there anything that you wanted to mention or add that you hadn't thought of while you were doing your discussion?
I have a question for Lorenzo. This is Angela.
Sure, go ahead.
what comes next? Like, what do you feel is your sort of end goal with the project? Do you think you want to do a book, or are you just not sure yet?
You know, that was going to be my question, too. This is Nicole. But I think we should open up to both artists. I would love to know what's next for both artists, because I think, you know, I know what the reactions were, just people walking through the halls, and everyone was really enthusiastic about all the photographs and all the participants. But I think everyone would be very curious to follow and see where these two minds are going.
First of all, for this project, I've thought about a book. I've thought about making a large, like, oversized book, like, 14 inches or even 16 inches, kind of like ridiculously sized book,
mm-hmm.
To make them as close, you know, like grandiose as possible in book form.
Mm-hmm.
But really right now, there's 30 total. So, one of the things that's kind of cool with it is that I can open it up to curators to kind of, you know, mix and match and create shows out of it that way. So right now I'm just kind of excited to get it, you know, up in show form. So that's kind of right now where it lives. And then as for next projects, I've just started working on a new portrait project. It's environmental portraits. And, the ideas aren't really... I don't really like talking about it before. I've really worked on it for a while. But, essentially I'm just photographing people in my community who are, you know, artists and kind of, you know, doing their craft. So that's sort of, and that's just like in the very beginning stages. I've only done a few of them. And as you might be able to tell, I like to kind of really like flesh things out and let them sit on my brain for a while before... moving forward, so I'll probably be working on that for quite a while, but I'm in the beginning stages of that right now. How about you, Angela?
Yeah, well, it's like, it's so interesting because I think sometimes I always equate it a little bit to like being in love. Like when you find a project that interests you for so long, it sometimes takes a little while to find something that's just as good, you know. I actually sort of have actually been doing quite a bit of work in the studio, which is something I never did before. But after finishing this project, I've just kind of been interested in, you know, sort of learning some new things and looking at things in a different way. So I love hearing about your studio process because that's very new to me. In terms of continuing my work on gender and sexuality, which... I'm interested in a lot of other things, a lot of other themes as well, but the next thing that I'm like superstitious about talking about projects before I feel like they're super far along, but I will divulge that I'm trying to develop, I've gotten really interested, my partner is in divinity school, and I'm really interested in like the intersection of religion and sexuality, and I'm trying to develop a project on a church movement called the Unity Fellowship, which is like an African-American urban church movement.
Cool.
There's one location of it in East New York, in Brooklyn. With these projects, it's also, you know, again, it's like a subculture project where there are sort of steps of having to see whether is the community open to it, can you find a way of working that's kind of mutually respectful, and it kind of remains to be seen, but that's sort of on the burner. Yeah.
Sounds great. Well, good luck to you both.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah. Anyone listening in can always email either one of us as well and you know, ask us questions there. I'm sure. I'm still going to speak for you, Angela, totally. But
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, just to put that out there, I think our contact information is on the site, but mine is just info@triburgo.com, just my last name. So I hope anyone, you know, would feel free to contact me that way, too.
Yeah, definitely.
Great. Thank you. This is Karen. And again, I want to say a final thank you to both Angela and Lorenzo for taking us through your work and into yourselves. You know, that's, as I've learned today, there's so much of the work that comes from what's inside of you. So I think we've all gotten a great perspective of, at least from the two of you, a feel for how the artist thinks and works. So that's great. I think you've given us a lot today. So I think we're at the end of our time. And I also want to thank my partner in crime, Ivan Kayabia. He's been helping me with this project, so I wanted to thank him as well, and he's been running the session today. And also Valerie Cooper, who's on the phone. She wasn't part of the presentation, but she helped us, like I said at the beginning, get all of this started. So thanks to Valerie as well. And we'll be doing this again next year, so definitely looking forward to that. So I think that time is up. Thank you, everybody who joined. Thanks again to the artists. Everybody have a great afternoon and a good weekend. And I think anything else to add? I mean, Ivan, I think we're all set, right?
Yeah, we're good. Thanks, everyone.
We're good. Okay, thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye now.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude the conference call for today. We thank you for your participation and ask that you please disconnect your line.